Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Om Jnanatimirandhasya, Jnananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Sthapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam Dadati svapadantikam Vancha kalpataru bhyascha Kripa sindhu bhya evacha Patitanam pavane bhyo Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Very happy and grateful to be here. Trying to speak on something which is out of my reach. And also I would like to admit that it is very difficult to present a topic which you yourself are trying to apply, in the process of applying. So whatever I'm presenting based on what I have heard and based on whatever limited realizations I have, based on my applications. So please feel free to correct in the end, and I would seek all of your blessings so that I can share something that is meaningful for myself and for all of you. So the topic is art of toggling from saying no to Krishna to saying yes to Krishna. And I'm presenting a session which is scheduled after so many sessions. So you are already quite expert by this time. How to say yes to Krishna. So whatever I am presenting, you just consider it to be kind of putting all the things together that you have heard. In other words, whatever I am presenting, you may not find anything new as such. It's probably just seeing it in another way. So when we say yes to Krishna, what are we doing here? Simultaneously, we are saying no to Maya. And similarly, when we are saying no to Krishna, we are saying yes to Maya. So let that be fundamentally clear. So I will first develop some basic understanding of where we are headed for, and then this whole topic of art of toggling. What I wanted to establish is there is a process which, if one follows wholeheartedly, one would be able to make difficult choices, which otherwise, on our own, left on our own, is very difficult to take. And we will also go through some examples of elevated devotees from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we would try to see how they have applied that process. So that's the overall nature of this presentation. And the reason I have chosen this title, Art of Toggling, because that toggling, the sense of toggling, is indicative of a transition point. In other words, we are trying to identify the point where one is choosing to say yes to Krishna instead of saying no. And I would like to highlight those transition points, essentially. All right, so some basics. So, what are the causes of our miseries in this material world? If you think that we are finding ourselves from time to time not very happy. So according to Nectar of Devotion, there are three causes of misery. One is the sinful activities. Then little more fundamental than that, our sinful desires. And then most fundamentally, the ignorance behind. So, sin has a very broad understanding when it comes to our Vedic scriptures. It is not just a matter of stealing another's property or trying to do something which in the court of law established to be something violation of the state law or something like that. Because when we hear sin, what comes to our head in general is that somebody has committed a thievery or killed someone, something really gruesome. So according to the basic understanding presented by our timeless scriptures, sin simply means deviation from our constitutional position. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiver Sharup Hoy Krishner Nitto Dash, that the eternal constitutional position of all living entities is that we are eternally servants of Krishna. So when we deviate from that constitutional position, then we are committing sins. So inherently, we have pleasure-seeking nature. The Vedanta Sutra aphorism we all are familiar with, Anandamayo Abhyasat, that we are all pleasure-seeking beings. So by nature, we are meant to enjoy. And at the same time, the same enjoyment propensity is challenging us to engage in sinful activities, which is in deviation from our constitutional nature. So the fundamental nature of enjoying is actually enjoying from our constitutional position of being a servant of Krishna. So if you are a servant of Krishna, what are we supposed to enjoy? We are meant to enjoy that Krishna is enjoying. That is what we are meant to enjoy. So when we forget that Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices, he is the central figure of all enjoyment, then deviating from that nature, then instead of actually getting enjoyment, we get miseries. So fundamental ignorance is our forgetfulness of our position as an eternal servant of Krishna. And the Nectar of Devotion details how this actually goes through different stages. Like, what happens is that when we talk about enjoyment, we are talking about something which we have enjoyed in the past, and then the current circumstances are just presenting something that we have seen in the past. The old memory is coming back. Like as college student, I can think of so many things that I have done, like so many foolish things that I have done as a college student. And when I'm placed in, even after practicing devotional life for so many years, when I'm placed in exactly those set of circumstances, something tells our mind, look, there is something for you to enjoy. So generally, that's what happens. So sin, another way of looking at it is the reminiscences of old memories of enjoyment independently of Krishna. So we are put in a situation where we are just remembering, oh, how nice it was. And then the moment we are thinking how nice it was, we are already trapped. And then we just go down the path of downfall. Srila Prabhupada was once giving a lecture, and then in the end there was question and answer session, and that was one person asks, what is the reason this world was created? And Srila Prabhupada responded, for enjoyment. And that person was very happy. Then Prabhupada said, not yours, Krishna's. Another pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was once on a walk in Oakland, California. Some park. And they were crossing a children's zoo where it was written children's fairyland. And there Prabhupada looked on the other side. There were these skyscrapers of San Francisco visible, the skyline. And Prabhupada just told his disciple, look there, that's adult's fairyland. In other words, whatever we find in this material world, after all, it is there to facilitate that enjoyment propensity that we have, but that propensity is channelized outside of our interest in Krishna's enjoyment. So that's the fundamental problem that we are dealing with. And now imagine if we are used to that kind of enjoyment lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, how difficult it would be for one to just turn one's face against that usual way of doing things. It's very hard. And therefore saying yes to Krishna is no joke. Because we are used to that conditioned pattern of enjoying independently of Krishna. So Nectar of Devotion gives some further details. So when we engage in a sinful activities, then what happens is that it generates an imperceptible effect or sanskara, and that is technically called aprarabdha karma. So aprarabdha karma means it doesn't have any visible sense of something damaged that has happened. Like one engages in some sinful activities. So by this time you know what we are talking about when we say sinful activities. So sinful activities mean any activities that is for my enjoyment, not Krishna's enjoyment, my enjoyment. Which typically means, from our perspective, when we are not clear about our identity, that means the enjoyment for my mind and senses, or for our psychophysical portion of our existence. That's what we are talking about. So when we have that kind of desire, when we are committing an activity in order to enjoy at the level of the mind or at the level of the senses, it creates a sanskara invisible to us. And that is called aprarabdha karma. That aprarabdha karma leads to what is called kutam. And kutam essentially means it's a proclivity, a general proclivity towards repeating the same mistake. But it's a generalized way of repeating the same mistake. But when the generalized way is there, when the circumstances present us, which brings us the memory of past involvement in the same kind of sinful activities, it then converts the generalized sensation, gets realized into, in a more practical way, in a specific way. And that is called bijam. So bijam is our tendency to enjoy in a specific manner, enforced by the particular circumstances that we have been placed in, which is reminiscent of a similar enjoyment that we had in the past. And then the moment it is in that point, the sinful desire, it then naturally leads to, because it's a specific desire for committing a specific act of sin, then that leads to then sinful activity. And as soon as the sinful activity is committed, again aprarabdha karma. So it's a self-perpetuating cycle, very vicious cycle that is going on between sinful activities and sinful desires. So we engage in sinful activities, that leads to sinful desires. Sinful desires lead to further sinful activities. So it just goes on and on and on. So where are we going to put a stop there? So this is the cycle of saying no to Krishna. This self-perpetuating vicious cycle of engaging in sinful activities again and again, this is our experience of just saying no to Krishna again and again and again, because we are just used to doing that. So where do we put our check? So you can point any place. You can say, maybe I should put the check at the sinful desire itself, or maybe at the activity itself. Where should we put our check in? Any thoughts? At the ignorance. Okay. But here we are just talking about, we are in this whole self-perpetuating cycle. Let's make it more, let's take Raghunandan Prabhu's example. Cricket. So, suppose for many, many years we are attracted to cricket, right? Watching cricket. And then, all of a sudden we came to know from the friend circle, World Cup is coming. It generates a sensation. I need to watch. I need to find out the results. And then, especially when the friends, you are surrounded by friends who are watching in front of you. How can you stop yourself? So in other words, when you are presented with certain circumstances which are just reminding you of something that you have enjoyed in the past thoroughly, how to stop? So we want to stop at the desire level in order to be practical. If you are not able to stop at the desire level, then it's just going to, if the desire is there, it's going to just manifest. We need some force, really. So now one can say that yes, I am going to tolerate that urge somehow or other. Krishna says, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukada Agma Painu Anityastansi Tiksha Svabharata. I'm going to somehow or other check that. I'm going to tolerate it. Try it. Very hard. Very hard. Especially when that strong circumstantial pressure comes, very, very hard. So yes, saying is easy, tolerated. But how do we tolerate it? That we have to understand. Yes, very good. So we are going to get into a systematic process that we can follow so that when we are faced with this kind of circumstances, how do we actually toggle from the state of no, which we are no to Krishna, which we are very used to a yes to Krishna. That no, I need to have something which is more natural for me, and that is, which is my constitutional position. So here, Shishi Radha Damodar Ki Jai. And interestingly enough, when we come to devotional life, what happens is that when we go in the association of devotees, there is a tendency when we see, okay, Prabhus and Matajis wearing dhotis and saris, there is a general picture, the external picture is that they should be therefore there, up there. But the truth is that we are all entering into a realm of bhakti which is giving us an opportunity to move forward. That doesn't mean that necessarily we are there. We may be still going through the same kind of processing that we are used to. So when we are coming into devotional life, we are actually also bringing the same kind of sinful tendencies, hoping to be purified in devotional association, hoping that all these purifying processes that are there is going to help us elevate our consciousness, bring us out of this kind of status quo that has become a natural part of our life, although spiritually speaking that is not really natural. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, so now let's move gradually towards the solution and then we will go through the examples. So in the third canto, Srila Kapil Dev gives a very wonderful way of how to actually break this cycle. Very, very practical tip. And I'm going to present that in a formula form. So Kapil Dev, so first he gives the standard. What is the highest standard of bhakti? When we say that here is a devotee who has attained love of God, what does that mean? So he says that mad katha shruti matrena mai sarva guhashe manogatir avichinna yatha ganga ambhasu ambudaho. He says that as soon as we hear about Krishna, as soon as we hear about Krishna, like the example is, one of the examples is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Very beautiful story. Gadadhar Pandit was brought with his friend Mukunda in the presence of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who externally had like very, very gorgeous sort of appearance, like wearing very expensive clothes and jewelries and drinking some juice from a goblet of made of gold, and everything around him was just bedecked with all kinds of jewels and very opulent setting. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, why did you bring me here? And then when he saw, just in a few moments, when Mukunda narrated a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is about Krishna playing with his friends. Just by hearing that verse, what was the state of Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Maharaj describes very wonderfully. Like he was wearing a hat. The hat started flowing in the air. And like the beverage that he was having, it just fell from his hand. And he himself actually fell from the cushiony place where he was sitting, exhibiting externally all these symptoms of transformation. In other words, like as Kapil Dev is saying, mat katha shruti matrena. As soon as you hear about Krishna and Krishna's activities, what happens? Kapil Dev is saying, mai guhashev, sarva guhashev, who is, so Krishna is in the heart of everyone. Guhashev means Krishna is in the heart of everyone. When we hear about that person who is the closest to us, having that natural primordial relationship, what happens is that immediately mind runs after him. Mano gatir avichinna. Mano gatir means mind is running very, very fast, incessantly, continuously. Avichinna means nothing can stop that mind from flowing towards Krishna. And the example is given just like Ganga Ambhasu Ambudu, Ambudhau. Just like the water of Ganges naturally flows towards the ocean. One doesn't have to, like even if some restriction is put on the course of the Ganges, it will somehow find its way. It just naturally always moves towards the ocean. So similarly, for a devotee who is experiencing pure unalloyed love of God, as soon as he hears about Krishna's names or Krishna's pastimes, his heart just gets drawn towards Krishna. I don't have that experience, for sure. What experience I have, I'll tell you. This verse, the same application of this verse, mat katha shruti matrena. We apply mat katha shruti matrena. As soon as someone talks about me, Ganga Ambasu Ambudav. Here is Kapil Dev who is speaking about mat katha, so that applies to the Supreme Personality of God. So that's the experience we have. We meaning I, not I or those who belong to my category. So the problem is that's not our position. That as soon as we hear about Krishna katha, the mind just gets drawn towards Krishna. So how do we get there? So Kapila Dev gives a very systematic process of how to get there. The most important thing is captured in two verses. Okay? The first one goes like this. He says that mahatam bahumanena dinanam anukampena maitreya chaiva atmatulleshu yatha, no, not yatha, yamena niyamena cha. That the first thing, first, this is what Maharaj was also talking about in the context of Sudama Brahmana's story, where he was mentioning that we need to have utmost respect and regard for our spiritual master. So he's saying mahatam. Mahatam means for those great souls who are acting in the capacity of being our guru or the spiritual preceptor, How should we regard? Bahu manena means with exclusively high regard for such person. Why? Because this person has taken this thankless task of extricating us from this sinful lifestyle, which we are so used to. And they are going through so much of sacrifices and hard work, just pull us out of this mess that we are in. And they are incessantly just doing that service, doesn't matter how rebellious we may be. So how much respect and regard we should have for this person? Very high. So we need to have that kind of deep connection. All the time we should yearn for that connection. So, mahatam bahu manena and dinanam anukampena. Dinanam means those who are poor. Now obviously when Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about poor, this is a Shastra, Amala Puran, Paramahamsanam. They're not going to talk about just material poverty. That's not even a point of discussion. So, dinanam naturally means those who are spiritually deprived, or those who are spiritually poor, or they are choosing themselves to be spiritually poor. So that's dinanam. So when we are somehow or other, as a part of our outreach activities, or as a part of our regular day job, our meditation should be that the fortune that I have received, having contacted such a personality in our glorious disciplic succession, I want to share the same fortune with others. So those who are spiritually deprived, we want to somehow or other connect them. So that's anukampena, that anukampa, that the mercy that we have received in the disciplic succession, we want to give when we are meeting others. What is this leading to? It leads to change of absorption. Usually we are absorbed in our own enjoyment. So when we find an opportunity to serve another person, understanding their difficulties, then that gives a wonderful opportunity to change our absorption from ourselves to others. And if we take that, if we stretch that meditation further, that can actually further purify us. So dinanam anukampena, the same anukampa, same mercy that we have received, we want to give that to others. And then maitriya atmatulleshu, chaiva atmatulleshu. Those who are like-minded, those who are, we are finding that we can have sharing of our heart, like whatever struggles and realizations that we may have, they will be able to easily able to relate to. We just develop instant friendship with them. Friendship means sharing of the heart, confidential sharing. Vayam akhyati prichyati is the basic principle that operates in between the friendly relationships. So we want to take that opportunity to share. Because the more we share our realizations, the realizations grow. And the more we share our struggles, it also gives us an opportunity to understand basically how we are falling short of accessing the mercy. Because when we talk with someone who are like-minded, they will share their own experience. And by sharing their own experience, we will elevate our consciousness. And obviously we have to do everything in regulation. So yamena, niyamena cha. So we need to have a culture of regulation around us. The question is, how do we even achieve that? So therefore that comes, so this is the verse, this is the key verse, which actually is going to help us put a break in this cycle, the self-perpetuating vicious cycle of saying no to Krishna. And that goes as follows. Adhyatmika anushramanat. I'm sure you would have heard this one because Maharaj has shared this one as a special. I'm just sharing my understanding after going through more meditation on this topic. So adhyatmika anushravanat, nama kirtanat chame. Arjavena, arya sangena, nir ahankriya, yatha, tatha. Not yatha, tatha. Tatha means and. So what are the steps that are given? The first is adhyatmika anushravanat. That we have to have a culture of hearing. Regular hearing. Anushravanat. Anushravanat means we hear in the disciplic succession. Particularly we hear from those with whom we have close relationship with. Or we want to establish close relationship with. So in other words, within hearing is also establishment of loving relationship. You also heard as a part of Maharaj's lecture that after all, bhakti is all about loving relationship. Yes means we are trying to say yes to that loving relationship with Krishna. So, anushravana. So first thing is that we need to hear. So from hearing is where we develop clarity of conceptions. We all are surrounded by misconceptions. That's why that ignorance comes in. Ignorance leads to sinful desires. Sinful desires leads to sinful activities and this self-perpetuating cycle. So clarity, we all need clarity. And clarity comes by hearing in the disciplic succession. And particularly hearing from those with whom we have close connection with. And then hearing is accompanied by Naam Sankirtan. Naam Sankirtan. So hearing and chanting, there are the fundamental processes. So chanting leads to purification of the heart. Hearing leads to clarification of misconceptions. So the more we chant, what happens? Heart gets purified and therefore we can hear better. The more we hear, we get more clarity and therefore we can chant better. So there is also this self-perpetuating cycle between hearing and chanting. And most importantly, as I said, we are trying to make a connection with spiritual master and those that spiritual master has entrusted in our life. And with them, what do? Arjavena. We are very, very straightforward. If you are not straightforward, I was reminded of Yamuna Jivan Prabhu's quote, that if we don't, or let's say it positively, one who stands to be corrected, that person stands higher than anybody else. And that standing high is of course standing high in one's devotional caliber, not necessarily standing high, but in other words, that person is the recipient of the greatest mercy, we can think it that way. So one who is willing to be corrected, which means that one is willing to also share one's heart openly in a straightforward manner, that this is the struggle I'm going through. Please help me. We heard that whole formula, that yes, thank you, please. Yes, thank you for giving me this situation. Yes, I accept this. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And please help me. Yes, thank you, please. But in order for us to have that in a more wholesome manner, we need to have wholesome relationships where we are able to open our hearts in a confidential manner, at least to one person. That is very, very important. Without that, we might be chanting today, maybe 30 years down the line, if we are not really capitalizing on the opportunities for trying to open our heart to at least one person, then there is always a chance of getting deviated. So, arjavena, arya sangena. So when we are in the devote, saintly association, nir ahankriya, without false ego, with a straightforwardness, we open up. So from all of this, I have derived this formula of 5 C's. So this is the take home message. And now we'll shift into our understanding of the examples. So what are the 5 C's? The first C is establishing our connection with our spiritual master. And those that spiritual master has entrusted in our life. With, how do we establish connection? How do we establish connection? Guyamakhyati prichati, and also hearing, as we mentioned. So in other words, we need to actively work on the loving relationship with a bona fide representative of Krishna. That is connection. Connection leads to second C, which is clarity. And that clarity is an ongoing process. It's not like I got clarity, that's it. It's an ongoing process. But the point is that we should be ready to go through this process from moment to moment. Or at least in the moments when we are facing that, okay, I just cannot move forward at all. So whatever C's I am presenting, it is applicable moment to moment, and also at any time we want to say yes to Krishna or toggle from no to yes. So clarity, then followed by the third C, which is from clarity comes character. So character, in other words, when we are developing clarity, that leads to qualities that come out. And clarity leads to, like, sorry, not clarity. Character, when it is actually persistently demonstrated, that leads to a culture. So now, if you remember, like what we talk about, that yamena niyamena va, it's a culture that we are forming on the strength of hearing and chanting, developing relationship. And then when that is there, then we are automatically manifesting those qualities that are needed to serve Krishna. And then culture, when the culture is there, then that leads to contributions. So these are the five C's. So let's revise. What are the five C? First C, connections. Connection means loving relationship. Connection leads to clarity. Clarity leads to character, and character leads to culture when it is repeatedly applied. And then culture, when there is culture, then there is contributions. And then all these anukampena and all these things are going to naturally manifest, because we are trying to create a culture where we are trying to pull down the descending mercy into our life and then extending that to others. So now let's shift our gear to the presentation. So at this point, I would like to draw your attention. Yes. So there are three kinds of devotees. Now, of course, we are used to Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. But I am presenting in the context of this saying yes to Krishna series of seminars. So based on this, this set of discussions, we learn that there are actually three kinds of devotees. Two categories of devotees, they are completely on a renounced state. Those, like, I think Maharaj already covered in the first session, they are free from two kinds of false shelters. False material shelter and false spiritual shelter. So false material shelter is akinchana. That one does not have any false material shelter. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. Right? False material shelter. And being intoxicated by it. And then, what is false spiritual shelter? When we don't understand Krishna as the object of everything, exclusively, then one may be spiritually deviated. The impersonalism is one kind of deviation. There could be so many varieties of deviation. Demigod worship could be another kind of deviation. So in other words, so there is akinchana, which is, I have nothing to do with anything material. I am averse to sense gratification. I don't want to enjoy. That is material. And then there is, so akinchanatvam and ananyagatatvam. These are the two principles. So akinchanatvam means, I have nowhere to go materially speaking. I have no false material shelter. And spiritually speaking, I don't have anywhere else to go. Ananyagatatvam. anywhere other than Krishna. Krishna is the exclusive shelter for me. So derived from this, Maharaj talked about, like quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like in the Sudama Brahmana pastime. So there are two kinds of such categories of devotees who are both in this, Akinchanatvam and Ananyagatatvam. One category is who are both externally and internally renounced. So the example is Sudama Brahmana. So in his case, he is inimical to sense gratification. But in the case of, for example, Parikshit Maharaj, he is indifferent to sense gratification. So he is internally renounced. Externally, he may be a king. So there are two categories of this high level, highest possible level. And there is no difference between these two categories because they are both operating from Akinchanatvam and Ananyagatatvam platform. And there is a third category, that is us, which is to be renounced. So I have put in these three ways. So one is inimical to sense gratification, that is both externally and internally renounced. And then there is the second category, which is indifferent to sense gratification, that is internally renounced. And then there is a third category, which is moving away progressively, hopefully, from sense gratification. So that is to be renounced. So because we are talking about toggling, so overall my focus was to discuss just this third category. But even in the lives of these other categories, we find the presence of the spiritual master bringing a sense of clarity in their life. And that's their aha moment, so to speak. That toggling from no to yes. And I can assure you, if you go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, every single example talks about saying yes to Krishna. It's a question of just mining the treasure out there. Every single example. In fact, take that as an exercise. So today I'm just going to touch upon a few examples where you can see those transition points where they are transitioning from no to yes. That's their pinnacle point. And we can take that as an exercise that as we go through Srimad Bhagavatam, for every single example to find those aha moment in their life or the toggling point. So now we are going to discuss toggling moments. I have put that just for the sake of the discussion, just six examples, two in each category. Okay? The first one is Srila Vyasadev. So this is a wonderful verse where this is coming from Narad Muni. So Vyasadev has compiled, because of the lack of time, I'm just going to not talk about because you all are also quite familiar with all of these wonderful pastimes, so I don't have to describe them. But we can just pay attention to how these five different C's, or at least some of the C's, are applicable in these examples. So in the case of Vyasadev, after compiling all the Vedic literature, with a careful contemplation for the welfare of humanity. He has welfare of humanity in mind. It's very clearly mentioned. But Anudita Prayam. He has not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Narad Muni appears at the right time and he points out that mistake. That, oh Vyasadev, can someone read please? Can someone read, volunteer? To read the translation.
Oh Vyasadev, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. Your firm and vow is situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastime of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage.
So here, the advice from Narad Muni is that you go into trance. Like the word that is used is samadhina anusmara tad vicheshtitam. So you enter into a state of trance where you are fully focusing on the Supreme Personality of God, and the realization that you get, then you share. And that's what Srila Vyasadev did. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite amale. So he went through the perfect state of trance of devotional meditation on Krishna. And out came Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was a transition point for Srila Vyasadev, where he is receiving. So this is connection with Narad Muni giving him clarity. And then, obviously in the case of Vyas that we are talking about, one, so I have color-coded, by the way, if you have not noticed. So blue means both externally and internally renounced person we are discussing. Green means we are discussing only internally renounced. Externally he may be having all these opulence. So here, so Vyasdev, in his case, he's obviously an elevated devotee. There is no question of his saying no to Krishna. But in this case, the no aspect is that in a subtle manner, he has spent his time where he has not sufficiently glorified Krishna. And that mistake is being pointed out by Narad Muni. And that is leading to further development of, like, there is no, I mean, in the case of Vyasdev, he is the literary incarnation of Krishna, so it's not like a development of character or anything. But it's the quality that is inside out, that coming out from Vyasdev, it's just full fructification of that which is inside coming out in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright, next example is Sudama Brahmana. Now Sudama Brahmana, very interestingly, it is pointed out that Sudama Brahmana was proud of his poverty. That's his subtlest possible anartha. So he was both internally and externally renounced, but it has been pointed out by our acharyas, that he was proud of his poverty. And that is why, what did Krishna do? He gave him opulence. So thus firmly fixing his determination, by means of his spiritual intelligence, Sudama remained absolutely devoted to Lord Krishna, the shelter of all living beings, free from avarice. He enjoyed together with his wife. Notice that. He enjoyed together with his wife the sense pleasures that had been bestowed upon him, always with the idea of eventually renouncing all sense gratification. So he is receiving whatever gift Krishna is giving. Like as Maharaj said, Krishna is kind or Krishna is kind. So in the case of Sudama Brahmana, that's how the mercy descended. And he is accepting that mercy in this way. That Krishna is giving me wealth, now let me engage that in Krishna's service. Alright. Then comes, I'm sorry, I would have gone through those all five C's processing if there was time. I would have taken each and every example and drilled through those. But let's just go through these transition points and I would give you as an exercise for you to do for these examples as well as for other examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it would be a useful exercise. So for Parikshit Maharaj, so this is green. So he is internally renounced person. Externally he is the king. So here, Parikshit Maharaj, after receiving the curse, how he is responding? And then also after meeting the sages, particularly Shukadev Goswami. That, O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. So all he wanted is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Vritrasura, another wonderful example. So this is again green. Internally renounced. Externally, he's presenting as a very, very extraordinarily fearful looking personality. Looking demon. Externally a demon, internally a devotee. Look at what he is saying. O Indra, King of Heaven, the thunderbolt you carry to kill me has been empowered by the prowess of Lord Vishnu and the strength of Dadichi's austerities. Since you have come here to kill me in accordance with Lord Vishnu's order, there is no doubt that I shall be killed. By the release of your thunderbolt, Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Therefore, your victory, opulence and all good qualities are assured. So he's talking with Indra, whom he's facing as an opponent on the battlefield. And he is encouraging him, kill me quickly so that I can go back to Godhead. That is Vritrasura's mood. And this is the way he is expressing that because you have been empowered by Lord Vishnu. That is going to happen. I'm just ready for it. So this is orange. This is coming to moving forward on the way. So there was turning point in the case of Ajamil when he saw the Vishnu Dutas. So because of a moment's association with devotees, the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Isn't what Krishna also says? Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam drida vrataha. Thus freed from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. So this is, then he dedicated his life to chanting the holy names. So interestingly, many people say, okay, in the case of Ajamil, he was sinful throughout his life and he got that mercy. What about me? Notice that there was a turning point in his life. It's not that at that time he went back to Godhead. He had to do his part. He got the inspiration to continue with the process of devotional service because of the association of the Vishnu Dutas. It's not that at that point, when the Vishnu Dutas came and they checked the Yamadutas to carry his soul into hellish kingdom, he got liberation. No, that was not the story of Ajamil. He got the connection with the Vishnu Dutas. He had to take the clarity, take it forward into the devotional realm and apply with determination. And in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, which is also on the way, Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. That's last. So Dhruva Maharaj is saying, alas, just look at me. I am so unfortunate. I approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can immediately cut the chain of the repetition of birth and death. But I still, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. This is after he got the audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead after following the instructions of Narad Muni very faithfully. So that's our application of 5 C's for full acceptance. Connection, clarity, then character. I'm sorry I could not do a good justice to this topic, but hopefully you got some message out of this. So the key thing to remember is this: connection, clarity, character, culture, and then contribution. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.